Tonight, I want to spend a little bit of time on the core fact in the Bible, which is God's throne nature, which deals with his infinite wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 23. This is a principle. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, the whole scripture is illuminated when we find out what the word heart means. Always remember this. In the Hebrew, the word heart means mind and thoughts. Intellect. That's from Strong's 3820 number. So we must see this, that as human beings, the way we think, our thoughts, our mind, is the controlling factor in how you act. All the things that you do start in your mind, start in your thoughts. We all know this. But know this for a fact. We are created in God's image, in God's likeness. In other words, if that's how we operate and he made us in his image, God's thoughts and mind is his infinite wisdom, and it controls, it coordinates, it aligns all of his infinite wisdom, the character, the attributes. His perfections are seen and manifested because his mind coordinates it. All the infinite perfections of God, all of his divine attributes, and what's so mind-blowing, his infinite attributes. God is endless. So think about that. All of his attributes he has, they're infinite. We will spend all eternity learning more about God and characters about him that he hasn't even shown us yet. So God, his thoughts, is what determines and coordinates and collaborates all together his attributes. So the wisdom of God is his thoughts manifested. His mind manifested. Wisdom that God has is not just one of many attributes. It is the spring from which all his attributes flow from. Are y'all with me so far? It's very important you see this. When it talks about, in verse 23, the mind, the thoughts, that's where all the issues of life, that's all from which your character comes from. Love, generosity, whatever. But also the flip side is your thoughts can determine negative traits as humans. We are made in his image. It is not a coincidence that man has called mankind the scientific name Homo sapien. It's no coincidence. In Latin, Homo sapien means wise man. It's no coincidence. So here you have God who has a mind which is eternal and infinite, and all the divine attributes flow from that. Now, I'm not sure how far I'll get this time, but I'm going to just put this there and I'm going to develop it later. Okay? Throne, the word throne, is a symbol in the Bible of God's infinite wisdom. Whenever you see God on the throne in the Bible, or he's enthroned, or visions of him on a throne, always think of the only wise God manifesting himself. When you look closely at the visions of the throne, you see all these symbols of wisdom. So understanding that, you will understand in the very beginning, when God created Lucifer first, we shared a little bit on this. God created Lucifer before he created anything else, anything or anyone else. Lucifer was the most beautiful and the wisest of God's creation. There's no coincidence that it talks about beauty and wisdom when God created Lucifer. Those are the two attributes that are dominant of expression that God desires for us to bring in the earth as believers, as reflections of him. When I say beauty, I'm not necessarily talking about physical beauty. I'm talking about a radiance of his presence, a glow on your face. So you have God creating Lucifer. He then creates the angels. Genesis 1 talks about how God created the earth. He created man. Bible says that God gave the earth to man. God, in Hebrews, it says that God made the angels ministers to man. We've gone over this. I'm just reviewing for those who weren't here. So God created man, and Lucifer, number one, may have thought he was supposed to get earth. But when God said, "You angels are going to serve man," that's when Lucifer rebelled, and pride came in. And he said, "I don't like this plan. I'm going to exert my throne. I'm going to exalt my throne above your throne, God, because I don't want to submit to this plan." So he envied God's position as the all-wise God. And the word throne, Lucifer had a throne. What was his throne? The wisdom that God had given him. He wanted to exalt his wisdom above God's wisdom and become God because he was rebelling against God's throne. Are y'all following this? It's very important you see this. That's where the war started. He envied man. He envied God's throne, God's sovereign throne. So he canvassed, politicked, got a third of the angels to follow him. And his wisdom became corrupted. And his beauty became blemished. But he didn't lose it. That's the key. He's still using his corrupted wisdom to still carry out the plan to take over God's throne. So you have this battle in the very beginning, God's infinite wisdom, mind, thoughts. Lucifer, in his limited, sought to attack and exalt his throne, his wisdom, his desires, his will above God's throne. So God threw him out. Read in Revelation 12. You can read in the Gospels where Jesus said, I saw Lucifer as lightning thrown to the earth. Okay. Keep in mind, there was no thousands and thousands of years between Lucifer's fall and man's fall. The Bible says at the end of Genesis 1, God said, this is good. He did this. This is good. This is good. At the very end, he said, this is my all, everything. The word says, everything or all I've created is very good. You know what that means? Lucifer hadn't fallen yet. But soon as God said, let us make man in our image, that's what got his attention. And so the earth was already created when Lucifer was kicked out and he fell to the earth, is my point. There was no long, big gap. So Lucifer was tested in his will on whether he was going to serve God and obey God. He failed, and he took a third of the angels. Well, God always tests the free will of his creatures. He wants them to worship him on their own free will. So that was the test of the angels. Man's test was the tree. So he failed in that. And it's not a coincidence that later on, way down the line, after the thousand-year millennial reign, where Satan is going to be bound for a thousand years, there are going to be millions of people born during that thousand-year millennial reign. Because remember, no one's going to die. There's no death. And here you go, having God loose Satan for a small period. Why? To test the will of those who were never tested. Those thousand years. They never been tempted by Satan. So God is going to have, he always tests who he creates. And then they're going to have to choose whether they're going to go, and so a lot of them are going to go with Satan after a thousand years of perfect goodness. So you have this battle. My point is, you have this battle going on. All throughout the ages, the whole Bible, folks, I'm telling you, every page, every story in this Bible comes down to one thing. Will people, will the person, will the character in that story obey God and yield to his wisdom, or disobey God and yield to their own wisdom or Satan's wisdom? Every story in the Bible. And so you have now, we're at a junction where, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Now, Paul's talking about his ministry, and he's to make all people see, Ephesians 3:9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, from the very beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent. Now, that's the key verse, the key passage right there. Now, most translations have different things, but a few translations have who created things, all things, in order that. The New American Standard says that. The Darby Bible says that. Another translation says, so that. It's very important that you see this. The word intent means with the goal or the reason or the aim is. And let me read it again. In the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Who created all things, creation came about through Jesus Christ for the reason or so that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ our Lord. Jesus our Lord. What is that saying? That in the very beginning, the reason that the triune God created everything, the whole universe, was that his manifold wisdom can be manifested and made known to all the angels of how wise he is. That's his internal purpose. That's his eternal purpose. That's the reason he created everything, to display his wisdom. He made the angels first to have an audience, to look at mankind, to see mankind fall, to have an opposition, which is Lucifer and the angels. Because you know, you really can't test a football team unless they play a good team. A person's wisdom is really not known until they have difficulty, opposition, obstacles. So Lucifer's fall was part of the plan. A person's team, football team, is not really known until they play a good team. They can brag all they want to. We're number one. But if they hadn't played anybody, how will we know it? God is using Satan to demonstrate his wisdom. And his wisdom is this, how to redeem an ungodly people whose spiritual nature is separated from him. How is he going to get them back to where they can be able to go to heaven? That's a whole nother subject. I'm just giving you snippets. But I'm giving you an overall view of what the Bible is about. That's basically what I'm doing. The infinite eternal wisdom of the triune God is the foundational truth of all Christian doctrine. Now, that's a big statement. It is the foundational truth of all Christian doctrine and of all the knowledge of God. A person who walks in wisdom as a human being is someone who thinks the thoughts of God and obeys it. That's as simple as I can get. A wise person is someone who is familiar with the thoughts of God, the Bible, and obeys it with the motive to please the Lord. No other motive but to please the Lord. God's wisdom is released. God releases his wisdom when he speaks. When words come out of his mouth, God's power is one with his word, with his wisdom. Now, the best way I can give the analogy is, as humans, when we speak, every time we speak, breath comes out of our mouths. When God speaks, words come out, and the breath or the Spirit of God comes, the power of God comes. So there are so many scriptures that talk about wisdom and power. Wisdom and power, they're kind of coupled together. You can't separate them. If you put your hand in front of your mouth, when you're talking, you feel the breath from your face, from your mouth. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, is the wisdom of God. That's why he came. He manifested the wisdom in a human body for us. Not only did he teach us, but he showed us with his power too. God's manifested wisdom, God's manifold wisdom, is that which shines a floodlight not only on his triune nature, but on all his divine attributes and infinite perfections. Go to Job 9, please. My desire is for you to see how important this subject is and how we are integrated into this whole dramatic thing that's going on. It's no coincidence that the book of Job was the first book written, because in the first chapter, if not the whole book, you have a whole synopsis of what God is doing now in the earth. You have God bring forth a man who was wise and was holy, present him to Satan. Now notice, Satan didn't ask about Job. God brought Job up and said, have you ever considered him? God had that much confidence. And so you have Satan trying to get Job to dishonor God by living a life that does not have integrity. The whole book is about integrity. Job kept his integrity to serve God. So you have this battle, this supernatural battle that Job couldn't even see. And that's what's going on now. Job 9, verse 4. God is wise in heart What did we say heart was? Mind and his thoughts. God is wise in his mind, in his thoughts, and mighty in strength. See how it's coupled together? Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 24 says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass." I mean, just him thinking it. "And as I have purposed, so it shall stand." Look at the correlation. Thought of God is his purpose. Thought, purpose. "That I will break the Syrian in my land, in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from him and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth." So you have this thing about thought. The thought of God is his purpose. You can just write this down. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9, where it says that God says, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Y'all remember that scripture? Listen to what he just said. "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." The thoughts of God are the ways of God seen. Moses said, "Show me your glory." Then he said, "Show me your ways." What was he asking? Show me the way you think. He wanted to know the heart of God. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but the glory of God is the heart of God. The heart of God is the mind of God. The glory of God is the mind of God revealed. Whenever you think about the glory of God, it says the whole earth shows forth the glory of God. What is it saying? The whole earth demonstrates the wisdom of God's mind. Everything that he created, everything that he created is just a small revelation of the character of God. Can you imagine all these animals, birds, insects, in the earth that took that kind of mind to be that creative? There are animals, there are fish that we've been on this planet 6,000 years, we haven't even seen yet. They are still discovering fish. Someone discovered new fish last week. They don't even know what to call them. But the whole ocean is a whole nother arena, folks, of things we haven't even seen yet. One day I was just meditating on this subject, and I was thinking, you know, I know my thoughts. But I don't know my thoughts before I have them. If y'all keep up with me now, you're going to have to think. I don't know my thoughts before I think them. I know when I think them. God knows my thoughts before I think them. Y'all got what I said? But listen to this. God knows the thought that you have right now. At the same time, he knows 7.5 billion people's thoughts. And not only that, he knows their thoughts before they think them. Folks, what kind of being are we serving? Think about that. Don't let your brain cramp up on you now. And then he has to coordinate all these lives together to work out towards his eternal purpose. I just think it's fascinating. You can write this down. Psalms 139, verse 17. The New English Bible says, "How deep I find thy thoughts, O God. How inexhaustible their themes." The Jerusalem Bible says, "God, how hard it is to grasp your thoughts. How impossible to count them." Just write this down. Psalms 92:5. It says, "O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep." See, that's what you say about somebody who's wise. He's deep. "Your thoughts are very deep. We're more familiar with Romans 11:33-34. That reads, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him?" Verse 33, I'm sorry, that was 34. 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And then it goes into 14. But that's what Paul was saying as he was writing this letter, and God was really laying on his heart all the spectrum of his purpose for man and his plan for man. And he gets to chapter 11. I mean, it wasn't chapter 11 when he was writing it, but when he got to this point of the letter, he started just being overwhelmed with the wisdom of God. Turn to Proverbs 8, please. Proverbs 8. Now, I really like you to hear this message with the mentality that you are going to be sharing this. Don't just see this as just something for you to hear. See this as a class which you're being taught that you're going to be able to share with other people. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Now, this is wisdom. Wisdom is talking like a person. It's personified. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I am understanding. I have strength, or I have power. Now listen to what he says. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Now here's a principle, here's a major principle. God's sovereignty. Sovereignty is the right and the authority to rule and reign and make decisions. Wisdom qualifies a person to be a ruler, to be a king. That's the qualification in the kingdom of God. Look at it from God's perspective. The reason that God is sovereign, the reason that he can do whatever he wants to do and is perfect and is right, is because of his infinite wisdom, which qualifies him to be sovereign. Now, that is so important to understand. So many people preach on sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of God. God has the right to do whatever he pleases because he's God. Well, I'm telling you, what qualifies him to be able to be perfect in his sovereignty? His infinite wisdom. His wisdom is perfect. His wisdom is precise. And I'm going to share this too. A person who's an authority or an expert in a certain field has a lot of wise knowledge about that particular field. The reason he's called an expert or an authority is because the knowledge and wisdom he has in that area. Does that make sense? I'll say it again. A person who's considered an authority, an expert in a certain field, is considered that because the wisdom and knowledge he has. To the degree that you have wisdom and knowledge about God and the scriptures will be the same level of authority that he will give you. The same area of power he will give you. Now, that was something I learned, and it just blew me away. If you live a life pursuing the wisdom of God, pursuing God, and you begin to learn a lot about him, he begins to reveal himself to you a lot. He begins to reveal the word of God to you a lot. You won't have to ask for an anointing or an authority. It attracts, the wisdom that he gives you will attract authority to you. And people will see and sense that authority on your life. And that gift, especially if you're authority in a certain subject in the Bible, that gift will make room for you before great people. That was free. I'm going to stop here. What I'd like you to do is consider this being an introduction, and I'll continue. Because I'm going to continue sharing how this is connected to the throne of God. And the overall story of the Bible is about God's throne. It started with a fight and a battle over God's throne. And it's going to end in Revelation 22 at a throne. And all between the scriptures of Genesis and Revelation, there's this throne imagery that is beyond me that more people are not ministering on. That it's still a battle for the throne of God. And my desire is for us to have this desire to learn more about the wisdom of God. Because that is the battle that we're going to face in the days ahead. Let's bow for prayer. Father, right now I thank you that you're teaching us about yourself. That we will become more intimate with you. That we will know you better. That we will be more and more intimate. It's all about intimacy. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.